This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Should current local pollution control standards for the Ohio River continue or should they be eliminated? That's what the Ohio River Valley Water Sanitation Commission is considering as it gathers public input. Joining us to discuss the current review of pollution standards for the Ohio River are Orsanco Executive Director and Chief Engineer Richard Harrison. Richard, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me here, Mark.
And aquatic biologist and co-chair of the Green Umbrella Watershed Action Team, Matt Wooten. Matt, hi.
Hi, how are you
doing?
Good
to see you today. Good, thanks. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Richard, what is Orsanco? What's its mission exactly?
Orsanco is a water pollution control agency. We were formed through an interstate compact in 1948 through our member states to work collectively to improve the water quality of the waters within the Ohio River basin, and we focus a lot on the Ohio River.
So your activities, I guess, are things like monitoring and those types of things?
They are, and we have a number of programs, of which pollution control standards are one of our programs, but that's really just a part of what we do. We work with monitoring and assessment for water quality on the Ohio River. We work in other bodies of water within the basin. We have an excellent team of scientists. Amazingly, we really have about 20 folks that work for Orsanco. So given the scope of our work, I'm very proud of our team and what we're able to accomplish.
So 20 people for an eight state area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And as I talk about our programs, we do monitoring for all of the pools for a fish population, macroinvertebrate, which is a fancy name for bugs. And by looking at looking at the fish and the macroinvertebrates, it gives us a sense of the health of the river, of the pools. The river's rich in species of fish, macroinvertebrates, mussels. And so that's a whole program where we look at the 20 pools and we determine fish health. And we've been doing that for decades. So it gives us trends information. We've seen great improvement. We do bi-monthly monitoring. We monitor for metals at all of our pools. We have decades of data. For that, we have source water protection. We'll respond to spill events, work with our 30-plus utilities if there's a major spill on the river. We just do a number of other programs. We have public outreach. We do a cleanup. So we have a number of programs that keep us very busy.
Matt, there was a time, and maybe some people still even think this way, you talk about the Ohio River and going swimming in the river or kayaking or canoeing, and they cringe. There's always been this perception that the Ohio is not a very clean river. How does it compare to years past? How much progress has been made in the water quality?
I think there's been a tremendous amount of improvement in the water quality in the Ohio River, and I'm able to say that looking at it firsthand. I'm a couple of months away from being 45 years old, and I grew up on this river, 150 miles upstream of here. And to watch the transformation that has taken place is absolutely amazing. So it has really improved in time.
Yeah. And Richard, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to echo what Matt said on that. We have just seen a remarkable improvement in water quality on the Ohio River. Is there more work to do? Absolutely. It's just an amazing asset and resource for the area. When you look at when Orsanco started, and really the key to Orsanco is collaboration. We work with our state partners, and really our compact is a pledge of our eight member states, which include the six mainstem states and New York and Virginia, really working together to improve the water quality of the river and to in all the bodies of water within the compact district. So we work very closely with utilities, water and wastewater industry, the states, EPA, federal agencies, and we're that group that really brings everybody together. We cross jurisdictional boundaries, and we really thrive in facilitation. And so, you know, I'll just remark: there's over 130 species of fish in the river. An incredible diversity. There's bass tournaments on the river, catfish tournaments. We have the United States' single largest paddling event on the river. There's the Great Ohio River Swim. Fish can be consumed in moderation. We've seen just a great increase in the numbers of species that are pollution intolerant, meaning they don't do well in a polluted body of water. Most of the recreational season, the E. coli levels, the bacteria levels in the river are favorable for swimming. So really the river in a lot of ways doesn't get the credit that it deserves. And that's something we work on diligently at Orsenco on behalf of our commissioners and our staff to get that message out. So again, we really appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Matt, all the rain we've had recently and then the river rising, how does that affect the water quality?
Well, you know, anytime it rains, different pollutants are going to wash off the shore. So, you know, it's always something to think about when it's raining like this. But when it gets up to the river levels that such that they are today, you know, I would just, you know, be careful when you're out there. But by and large, echoing what Richard said, even in times like this, once the river settles back down, the river has really improved. It's in pretty good shape.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk to Rich. Hi, Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi, this is Rich Togan. I am Executive Director of Ohio River Foundation and also the Chair of the Watershed Organization Advisory Committee to Orsenco. Hi, Richard, and hi, Matt. I know both gentlemen.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hey. Question is, there's a lot of concern that with Orsenco possibly stepping back from writing water quality pollution standards, that there'll be a void where different states may adopt a different criteria, different standards. For example, if an upstream state adopts a weaker standard than a downstream state, that a downstream state will suffer the consequences of any permits that are issued and more pollution that they have to deal with. And so that's a great concern. And it's interesting that there was a minority report issued by some commissioners on Orsenco to the proposed change in how standards are going to be written. And in that minority report, they highlighted such concerns. So I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on that unique minority report. And I don't recall such a report being issued in the past on any proposed changes. So if you could comment on all this, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rich.
I'd be happy to, Rich, and thanks for the question, and thanks for the service of the Watershed Organization's Advisory Committee to Orsenco. We really thrive with the collaboration of our committees, and you know, I think that's a good question, Rich. And maybe, Mark, if I could just step back a little bit, because we really haven't talked about the issue that we're here to discuss today broadly.
Why is this being considered?
Exactly. So Orsenco has had some form of standards since the early 50s, late 40s, early 50s. And those have really developed through the years. Initially, they started out as wastewater-related effluent standards, and they've evolved through time. Well, the Federal Clean Water Act really is fairly recent in terms of the evolution of standards. And if you go back in the 1800s, really the late 1800s, really the only type of federal standard program was a Clean Harbor Act, Clean Waters Harbor Act, and that related to navigation. So it really wasn't related to water quality. And so through the years, the federal agencies have really evolved, and through the Clean Water Act of 1972, we have really the current regulatory arena with this U.S. EPA and the states that work towards maintaining the designated uses of the bodies of water. And so when I say designated uses, I'm talking about fish, aquatic life, fish consumption, the water supply, and human health. And so that's really making sure the bodies of water within the United States meet those designated uses and other related uses as may be determined. And so Orsenco's standards have evolved as well. And with this particular standards review, normally every 3 years, we'll take a surgical look at each standard of our criteria and decide if there needs to be any change. Well, periodically through Orsenka's history, we have taken a more holistic look at our standards program and really the role of Orsenka in standards. So this is one of those such reviews. It's important that Orsenka's resources are used wisely. As I mentioned earlier, we are a small but mighty group of folks that work on this, and we have to make sure that our programs are providing the best value to our partners. And that's something that's being looked at holistically by the commission. And so this was reviewed by an ad hoc committee. This has been something that has been thoroughly reviewed. And I'm very proud, as Rich mentioned, the minority report, the commission has been very transparent. We're approaching this as a very transparent, objective process. At some point, and I know on your website, you give the link to Orsenka's webpage, but we have a wealth of information on there. We've reached out to our advisory committees to get their input through this process before we even launched this public review on January 10th. And so we're doing a two-step review. The first step is part of a 45-day comment period, which closes on the 24th, later this week. And that is just a broad discussion about an alternative that Orsenka's commissioned the majority favor, and that's to significantly modify our pollution control standards to eliminate criteria development as well as the mixing zone chapters and make other modifications. But there's actually five alternatives that were developed through the ad hoc committee's work.
And before you go into those, Rich, how long before a final decision is made?
That's a good question. So through the two-step process, the commission has made no decision yet, and that's important to note. We are at the infancy stage of this process, wrapping up the 45-day initial comment period. At our June commission meeting, the commission will decide whether to move forward with a specific proposal. That'll start a whole new comment period. There'll be a public hearing scheduled. Should the commission decide to move forward with alternative two, which I'll go through in just a moment, or any of the other alternatives, or possibly not move forward with this at all. So that remains to be seen, but that would occur in June, and then ultimately would be completed the current schedule in October.
So what's the determining factor? Is that input you get from the public, or what? How's the final decision made?
Well, ultimately, the commission has a pollution control standards committee that will review the input through each step of the process, and then we'll have a discussion with the commissioners. This is a commission policy level decision. It's very complicated, so it's something that at the end of the day, the commission will decide, and then they'll make their wishes known through the next potential comment period.
So there's alternatives. There's alternative two, which is the one that's being leaned toward right now.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then there are four other alternatives?
Yes. And Rich, I have not forgotten your question. I promise I'll come back around to that. But just very quickly, the alternatives really range from totally eliminating our standards. And we produce a pollution control standards document that has a number of chapters in it. It's on our website. And it's something that the states then incorporate in their standards program as part of their overall work to make sure that they meet the provisions of the Clean Water Act. And so we have US EPA working on that, and then we have the states that have implemented their own standards. So we have alternatives that range from total elimination of the program to alternative two, which would be a substantial elimination of a couple of chapters involving criteria and mixing zones. And then we have alternative three, which would basically use EPA's recommended standards and only vary for the few that we might specifically want to vary from. We have another alternative that would expand our program and actually work to increase the harmonization between the states. And then we have a final alternative that was developed that would basically keep the standards program as is, but make it more of a guideline, a recommended type criteria as opposed to specific standards that the states have to follow. So Rich asked the question about the minority report. And again, that shows how transparent Orsenka is trying to be in our commission. They really want the public to understand the complexities of this and what we're working with. And
what's the main concern with that minority report? Is it giving up local control? Is that what they're most concerned about?
Well, the Orsenco standards are really a third layer of standards. You have the US EPA's recommended criteria through the Clean Water Act, and then through the Clean Water Act, the states have to develop their own criteria to really implement what's called the National Pollutant Elimination Discharge System, NPDES program. So any discharger, and there's about 600 on the Ohio River, has to apply for a permit to their state of jurisdiction before they're allowed to have a discharge into the river. Well, through that, the states set limits at the end of the pipe for the discharger for a number of pollutants. So they go through that process. US EPA has to approve the state standards. Then on top of that, the states look at Orsenco's standards and pick the most stringent. But it doesn't really stop there, Mark. When you look at standards, you have to really look at the flow of the individual discharge and the reasonable potential for an exceedance of a criteria. And this is where it gets a little complicated, and I'm going to try to keep this brief, but Orsenco's criteria are actually ambient water quality criteria that applies to the water itself. It's not end-of-pipe discharge. And so you have to really look and see if a discharge is going to impact that designated use by exceeding that. And so to answer Rich's question, the commission is considering this because the thought is that with the robust state program and the US EPA's program, that there's a better use of Orsenco's resources than really having potentially a redundant third layer. There are certainly differences in the state standards, but holistically, when they implement the NPDES program through the US EPA's stringent review, the designated uses of the river are being met. And that's something that Orsenco already delegates to the states through all the other interstate bodies of water within the basin. Our standards only apply to the Ohio River.
Matt, when we talk about discharges and spills, how much, with the volume of the Ohio River, how much of a spill or a discharge would really affect river quality?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer with any kind of specificity. The Ohio River is a huge body of water. It is a lot of volume going through there. So, I don't want to downplay a spill as being minor or major. But again, it would take a pretty good spill, in my opinion, to see a big impact. But that's not advocating for a spill or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Well, Marcus, you might suspect I have a thought on that. We have an incredible source water protection program. Our folks, we have 12 scientists that really carry a round-the-clock call for spills. And so we get about 600 spills reported a year through the EPA and Coast Guard's National Response Center. And then we have a program on the river that we work with utilities to monitor for contaminants that aren't supposed to be there. We've had a couple large spills recently, a urea spill, and so Orsenco works around the clock on that effort. So any spill is something that we look at, and then we will work through those to determine which ones require more action. Then we work with the emergency folks with the states and EPA then to really work out a response plan to make sure the utilities program, that the utilities water treatment is protected.
513-419-7100, and Brewster Rhodes joins us. Hi, Brewster.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Yes.
Well, okay, thank you very much. Hey, first of all, Richard and Matt, thanks for what you each do in your respective fields. Orsenco is critical to protecting water quality on the Ohio, which is such an amazing natural resource and asset for the 981-mile stretch. It's the largest river in America until it hits the Mississippi, and the Ohio is twice as big as the Mississippi when they intersect. We just need to appreciate this, and I appreciate as well your reference to Paddle Fest and the swim we do every year, and there are just ways of people having a personal experience with the Ohio. So here's the deal. This is pretty complicated, and I don't understand all the factors here, but Richard, I just want you to know how I think it's critical that Orsenco be the cheerleader, the advocate, the folks who go to the mat for keeping the Ohio clean and getting it even cleaner, and holding the states and the federal EPA accountable. And, you know, frankly, we're seeing this is somewhat political. I get it. But we have a change in administration. We have folks at the helm of the U.S. EPA and some of the state EPAs who, frankly, from my point of view, are not into the concerns that you share with me, with Matt, with the average citizen who cares about clean water. And I think I would hope that Orsanco would continue to do everything it humanly can to monitor, to blow the whistle when folks are not meeting the basic standards, and frankly, championing higher standards whenever it's possible. And I know you don't have a research budget that allows you to do original studies. I get it. But frankly, we need you to be the folks who stand up and fight for better water quality in the Ohio. That's it. Sorry.
Thanks. Thanks, Brewster. And what does happen if Orsanco steps back from these regulations? I mean, what happens to Orsanco? And how does its role change?
Orsanco's role will not change. And first, I want to say thank you, Brewster. We certainly appreciate the partnership with you and the great work that you do and Green Umbrella does with hosting events and really, really champion the great resource we have with the Ohio River. But you know, back to your point, Orsanco is not going away. We have amazing programs, and we still bring through our structure, our commissioners. We have three commissioners from each of the member states, which you know, we have the states of Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia. We also have three commissioners appointed by the President of the United States. So that role of bringing the states together, coordinating, you know, really collaborating, isn't going to change. Our compact is not changing. We're still going to be dedicated to maintaining the designated uses. I am confident in our commission that they will not move forward with something that will harm the water quality of the Ohio River. This is very complex. No decision has been made. I just want to repeat that. We welcome the comments. Those will be reviewed by the commission, and really why we're taking two steps for this process. And if you look at our website on orsanco.org, again, through the station here,
we have a link to that at wvxu.org.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You will find an amazing amount of material. And so we welcome your review of that and input. But Brewster, appreciate the comment and the question and the support.
And just to make sure I understood, Richard, June final decision?
No, October final decision.
October, okay. I didn't understand that.
Step.
Okay, so not till October. Thank you very much, Richard. And thank you, Matt. Orsanco Executive Director and Chief Engineer Richard Harrison and Aquatic Biologist and Co-Chair of the Green Umbrella Watershed Action Team, Matt Wooten. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition. The producer was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.